Hey everyone, this is Cameron Sism, the Seasons and Me, and you're listening to the Power Rock Podcast with your host, Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, metal, heavy metal, speed metal, contemporary, melodic rock. Friends, we got it all. And today, I am super excited because I have on the line vocalist, guitarist, and songwriter, Mr. Cameron Sism of Seasons of Me. Cameron, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks so much, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Cameron, first of all, I truly want to thank you for taking your time and giving me a call, because I'm telling you what, brother, when you sent me over the material for your band Seasons of Me, I'm going to tell you what, I was extremely impressed, and I'm so glad, like I had stated, that we are doing this interview, because I really, really believe with all my heart that the music that you guys have to offer is something that the public truly needs to hear. So thank you, man.
No, Jim, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to get to do an interview, and after looking over your stuff and things like that, I think it's going to be a good one. I give the people something really awesome to listen to.
Well, that's great, man. What I'd like to do, Cameron, is go ahead and give us some brief history about yourself and how the band got started. Go into your latest EP called Seasons of Me.
Okay, absolutely. So the guys in the band, including myself, have obviously been playing music from a really young age. Some of them, we all vary in age ranges, which I think is always kind of interesting to see the different influences that come out in us. Me and Nick actually had been jamming around on just some acoustic stuff in the basement for a while. Not really planning on doing anything, just playing some covers, having some fun, hanging out. And one day he gave me a call and was just like, hey, I heard that original you played the other night when I kind of wasn't listening, and I think it sounded good. So why don't we try to do something with this? And he started making some calls into members, and we've switched a couple of them out. We've added Greg Barrett to drums and Dana Cox to guitar, and we all just mesh together really, really well. We write together really well, and everything just seems to kind of be happening without any effort. So you get four guys together that can live in a van and be sweaty and stinky and tired all the time, and you're not at each other's throats, and you work together that well, it's kind of a no-brainer to leave that system up to itself.
And you know what? To be honest with you, it really shows in the music that you guys have put out.
Thank you very much. Yeah, like I said, I've kind of harp on this a lot. We have quite a few younger bands ask us, what's the most important thing, when it comes to it. And I'm like, man, you got to get along with your guys, because everything has to work like a well-oiled machine in order for you to achieve any success of any kind. And even something as simple as who does what when you're breaking down, who goes to merch, who drives the van. I mean, there's so many little things that people don't think about that. And that's the stuff that really ends up getting underneath your skin. But we've everybody kind of has their own little jobs, and it works out really well for us. So, the group of guys that we have right now, there's no way I would trade any of them in for anything in the world. So
that's great to hear. Before we get any deeper into this party, man, why don't you tell the listeners where they can purchase the album?
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, obviously, we do physical copies through our own website. It's at www.seasonsofmeband.com. There's a merch store link on there, as well as anything else that you could really need to be linked to, our YouTube channel and all that. We're on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, pretty much any and all streaming or purchase available sites we're on, and all you have to do is search for Seasons of Me.
Okay, excellent. Cameron, the first question I'd like to ask you, what do you think was that defining moment in your life that made you want to become a singer, songwriter, vocalist, or basically in a nutshell, a musician?
Well, my grandfather, on my mother's side, Kenneth, he was a vocalist in an actual gospel quartet forever. And my dad played guitar. Pretty much everybody in my family at some point in time has touched some sort of music in some way or another. And so I was always surrounded by it. Had a couple of bad runs and decided to, put some feelings on paper instead of trying to keep it bottled up and stuff like that. And it ended up working out and let the right people hear it. And, you know, I never personally thought that I would end up doing this as, you know, anything that I would consider even remotely professional or, you know, even go out gigging with. I just thought it was kind of a way to kind of vent out until, you know, like Nick and a couple other people, my parents and things like that, really kind of pushed me. I was like, you know, you actually write some pretty decent songs. Let's see where this goes. You know, you should go for it. So as much as it was my own doing, it was also the people around me showing the support and really making me believe that I could do it. You know, we went from, you know, outsourcing everything studio wise and stuff like that to where now we're kind of doing some tracking on our own back at the house. We travel with a full light show that we program and everything like that. So, you know, we try to be as DIY as possible. We run our own website. And once you really get to sink your teeth into it like that, you get that much more respect for every little angle of everything that you're doing. And it really makes you kind of buckle down and, you know, pay attention to what's important. So
what I'd like to do, Cameron, is the first song I would like to talk about off the album Seasons of Me is called Memories. Can you give the listener some history about that song?
The songs that, like, and I'll say this as a blanket overall statement, if I may, real quick, is a lot of the songs when I first write them down, they're extremely personal, wordage towards certain people and things like that. And I kind of vague them up so that way maybe people can, you know, it doesn't have to be about the same thing to everyone. And that's when I think the best things about music is I can listen to a song and take it completely different than anybody else. But definitely the mind state for Memories was I've lost quite a few relatives around me, the bandmates have. We've lost some really good friends. And the toll that it can kind of start to take on you mentally, especially without, you know, speaking to anyone or reaching out to anyone, I mean, it can really lead you to a dark place, kind of like a conversation within yourself about, you know, please just take away the memories, you know, I don't want to have them anymore. As much as they help color and tailor who you are as a person, and you need stuff like that to happen, you know, a lot of times we wish we could just hit the erase button on certain things.
And I'm going to tell you what, brother, let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Memory with Seasons of Me. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast. We'll be right back. we are with Cameron Sism of Seasons of Me. And Cameron, that song Memories, man, it's just a great song, well produced, well arranged. I love the vocals, everything on it, the engineering, the mixing and mastering. Great product, great song. I don't want to sound robotic, but I probably will say great song after every song that we discussed throughout this interview. There's the first one. Great tune, brother.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the production quality and stuff like that, we've got to throw a shout-out out to our boy Troy Whitson. He actually ran the Sound Asylum studio up here where we're from for several years, and he actually just recently sold it to go be a pastor in Florida. So
awesome.
We're really happy to be one of the last projects that he got to do up here. He's a really good friend of ours, and he's been with us since the beginning. So he's one of the best people we could have help us on a project like that.
That's wonderful to hear. The next question I would like to ask is, in your opinion, what defines a successful record?
That's a really good question. And cool thing about it too is that it's so different for everybody else. To me, anything music release wise is if we can get that into the hands of one person and it can help make a difference for them. If they're going through a bad time and we have that one song that really hits them and, you know, kind of gives them some ground or whatever, you know, so another leg to stand on, a little bit of hope, anything like that, that would be a success to me. You know, for us, as much as, you know, we'd love to be out there, you know, full time signed to a record deal, living the dream like that, you know, that's not the case for us. I don't think that meaning would ever change for us if we can, you know, help people at all. That's one of the main reasons why we do it, because we do music to help ourselves to kind of escape our daily life. Being able to help anybody makes it a success. Getting one email, one comment on a Facebook post or anything like that about how we've helped somebody through something, that makes it all worth it in the end.
That answer right there, I have heard many, many times, and I am so glad that you answered that question the way you did, because the reality is that you're not working if you're doing what you love. If you were in this for the money, you would have quit a long time ago.
Oh yeah, you're in the wrong business if you're,
you know what I mean? So you're right. It's heartfelt. If somebody comes up to you after a gig or emails you and says, Cameron, you know, I listened to this song and I just want to tell you, you know, you really inspired me. You touched my heart. You got me through. Man, that is worth more than money can ever buy.
Absolutely. The feeling that you get from something like that's just that it's really indescribable.
All right, man. The next track I'd like to talk about is called Your Fate. Now, I got to tell you, man, this song here, I love all the tracks. And, you know, I had a hard time. I know there's a few more tracks to this EP. However, well, we are going to really play them all but two. But this track right here, for me personally, is my favorite. The lyrics, you sound, to me personally, there's parts in the song where you sound very angry. There's parts in the song where you sound confused and like you're really trying to tell people something. So give the listeners some history about that song, Your Fate.
Yeah, Your Fate was actually the last song that we tracked vocals on for the EP. And I kind of call it my, I guess, kind of schizophrenic song, because it kind of goes all over the place, like you were mentioning. More of it, I think, on that one is more of a battle with other people, the people that try to drag you down. There's always, no matter, you know, how good you're trying to do for yourself, you know, no matter how much help you're spreading, you know, to other people and trying to do that, there's always going to be those few people out there that are just like, oh, it's not worth it. Why are you wasting your time? Why are you doing that? And it's pretty much an FU song kind of to those people that really just try to hold you down and drag you down and change who you are as a person to fit more of their persona and right, how they perceive you and want you to be.
Well, you know, it's ironic that you said that, because I actually had made a Facebook, you know, the other day. I can't tell you the amount of people that have told me, Jim, you can't do this. You know, you're not smart enough, or you don't have any training, or blah, blah, blah. And what I tell everybody is stand back and watch this shit, because I'm doing it. I don't need you to tell me that, because the more you tell me I can't do it, the more I'm going to shove it down your throat that I can do it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of people out there that can't read the sign that says bathroom, but that don't mean they don't know how to use it.
There you go. Let's go ahead and play it. Your Fate, right here on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up. Thank you.
The past has already come and gone, so there's no sense in trying to keep hanging on. When there's nothing that we can do, it's time to stand up and keep on fighting through. We will break ourselves from all of the doubt, even though I can't show you what I'm talking about. I will do what I can to make you understand this is a war and the gun is in my hand. No, I won't back down again, no matter what you say. I'm here to break through and see another day. So keep talking and trying to beat me down. I promise I'm about to burn this whole thing down.
Back with Cameron Sisson and brother, killer song. You know, there's that robot shit. But brother, well done again, man. You know, I love the explanation and how we talked. You know, talked about that, and it's just overall great stuff.
Thank you so much. That one, yeah, Dana put in quite a bit of work on the guitar on that one. So I think he enjoys that one. He gets to rock out pretty heavy to that one live when we play it.
Next question I'd like to ask you is, what piece of advice or musical advice forever changed your way of thinking?
The best piece of advice.
Forever changed.
Really, honestly, the best one was probably stay humble, because the minute that you don't, you're going to get smacked in the face with a remembrance of why you need to be humble. I think that's so many bands lose sight of that, you know, lose sight of their fans, the people that really matter in the whole ordeal. I've watched several people go through it, and as soon as that happens, it's like everything just like derails on them. So staying humble, I think, is probably the biggest thing. And that, I mean, well, that has to do pretty much deal with anything that you're doing in your life, but especially in this business, it's easy to get in your own head and think that, you know, that you're something bigger than you really are.
But, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I would think a lot of the musicians that have been around for 30 plus years, whatever, they're great musicians. Don't misinterpret me, and their music is excellent. You know, I think something or some of them may have forgotten that at one point in their life, every mainstream band was an indie band at one time.
Oh, absolutely. We always, you know, I see quite a few people. We've got some really good local music supporters around our area in the Tri-Cities area altogether, and a lot of the places that we travel. And a lot of them actually are good enough to have the mindset of, you know, well, go catch a local show. You never know when that's going to be the next big thing. You know, I remember seeing Hailstorm at Capone's in Johnson City, and it's, I think, a 650-person capacity room. You know, you never know when somebody's going to get their big break and stuff like that as well. So
the next track I'd like to talk about off the EP is called Colors. Can you give us some history about that one?
Yeah, absolutely. Colors was the first song that we finished production on for the new record. And this one, it was the most seamless song I think that we've ever written. There was no hiccups about it. Everything just kind of flowed with this one, even more so than the rest of them. The song's really about, you know, the people that we get to deal with in our daily lives, and, you know, people change, and, you know, that's kind of part of life. But when, you know, somebody changes and it really takes away from who they were to you as an individual, you know, maybe doesn't make them shine as bright and things like that. It's more about, you know, you're wanting somebody to really see that, you know, either what they're doing or how they're changing or the decisions that they're making are really kind of hindering the person that you know that they can be, and really wanting them to find grasp with whatever they're dealing with.
Here it is, Colors with Seasons of Me on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Yeah.
Welcome back again. We are with Cameron Chisholm. And so, you know, Cameron, that's another song that obviously great tune that, you know, I took it pretty much exactly the way you kind of illustrated it. And, you know, I don't believe that things happen coincidentally, because this interview, you're saying things that have reminded me of myself through your music that you had no clue about, good or bad. So it's almost like I want to say thank you for doing this for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one great thing that I can definitely say about the guys, and, you know, how I feel like we're able to portray the message that we're trying to get across, is we've actually had several people, you know, come up to us and they're like, man, you're kind of just writing true life. And one of the best fans that we have is his name's James Cole. He's from Wisconsin, and we live in Johnson City, Tennessee. So it's not a short, you know, scoot across, you know, it's not like you're driving 3 hours to go see a band or whatever. He actually drove down to Tennessee to catch one of our shows at our hometown venue. We were talking, you know, we had done a thing where we were looking for a new website name or just something that we could kind of redirect to something being cool. And without us even asking him to, he went ahead and registered the URL True Life Through Music and redirected our website to it. So, you know, when he came up with that title, it was just like, holy crap. Like, you know, this is yet again another reason why we do it. We have somebody that completely, you know, understands, you know, what we're trying to do with this. So,
and in lieu of what you just said, I would also like to give James Cole a big shout out, because he is a huge supporter of me. He has really, every time I've done interviews, he's listened to them, he has shared them, and he's, I've never met him personally. However, I can honestly say that through his actions and how he treats me with respect, as equally as I treat him with respect, he is an absolute friend that I have never met. He's just a great guy. So I'm not going to polish his ass anymore. There it is right there. He's a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Next question. What do you think, in your opinion, will be the next evolution in the music industry?
Well, what I'm really hoping for, and it's actually, I wouldn't necessarily say it's going to be a new evolution. Physical CD sales and people showing up to concerts, we're already seeing a big turnaround with that. CD sales, if I'm not mistaken, I just read an article the other day that for the first time in almost 10 years, physical CDs actually outsold digital, which is freaking huge. Because if we can get that kind of support back into the live music scene, it allows bands to take everything that much further. You know, you'll get to see more bands traveling with production. You're not just going to go watch four guys stand on stage and just play music. You know, we'll be able to do these big theatrical productions with light shows and, you know, have all the cool toys and gadgets and stuff like that, which, I mean, let's be honest, if we want to go watch somebody stand completely still on stage and it sound exactly like the record, we should just stay home and listen to the record. We want to see a show when we go out. So that puts, you know, the live shows and physical CD sales puts more money in the artist's pocket to do stuff like that with and travel further and, you know, get to meet new people and team up with new bands and stuff like that. So I think that that's probably going to be extremely huge if we continue on this trend that we're in.
I think, you know, I'm going to totally agree with you, because, you know, I remember, you know, back in the 80s, you know, when Kiss came out with the first album I purchased was Creatures of the Night. You know, it was on vinyl, and, you know, you could actually see the picture, you could read about the band, you know, it had a biography, if you will, on the back of the vinyl. And the same thing applies with CDs today. You know, they have an insert that you could touch, you could feel it, you can look at it. And I think as a generation of people, we have lost that, and it's so great to have that opportunity, or to know that, you know, anybody can spend 99 cents on a digital download, but, you know, you guys work your ass off. And, you know, I think people are starting to get that itch, because they want to be able to feel it, to embrace it. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. We see that more and more and more, and even people, you know, wanting to know more about, you know, the musicians that are in the band, their background and stuff like that. The conversations, even over the past, you know, 5 years that you have after a show, go from just, hey man, good set, to, oh man, that was awesome. And, you know, you kind of play guitar, or you play bass like this, or you kind of sing like this, and it reminds me of this, you know, what were your influences and stuff like that. Especially even amongst like some of the younger kids that are coming up to us, like, oh man, I kind of play bass, or I'm learning to play bass, and your style's so cool, you know, when we can kind of relate to stuff like that. And, you know, being able to take that physical CD and have something tangible, you know, from the show, something signed or whatever, is still a big deal to all of us. You know, even if we go out and play a show with a band that we've never played with before, and we're just like, holy crap, these guys, you know, they're slaying it. You know, we're going to go over and buy their CD. We're going to have them sign it. You know, that's taking that something tangible with you it creates a memory of the day that you got that, more so than just going on your phone and clicking the download button. You know, you don't remember the day that you did that. There's no certain experience of that happening. Whereas at a show, if you pick up a physical CD or a t-shirt, oh, well, I remember the night that happened, because, you know, even if it's something crazy, like, oh, this chick got crazy drunk and puked and slipped in it or whatever, you know, there will always be some sort of memory attached to that CD. Man.
Exactly. The next track I'd like to talk about is called Walk of Shame. How about some history, brother?
Walk of Shame was actually that one was, I think that was probably like the weirdest one that I wrote, because I was stuck on it for a little bit. I actually didn't finish writing that one until we were actually tracking the vocals in the studio the day that it had to be done, I think obviously helps some truth come out, because you have no time to think of a lie. You're pretty much put on the spot. So Walk of Shame is a song. Pretty much once you've told somebody to kick rocks, and, you know, they're been kind of wronging you and stuff like that, when you finally get to tell them, you know, piss off or whatever you like to say about it, you know, when they have to tuck their head in shame and walk away from the situation, knowing that it's not something that was necessarily something that needed to be done. But
let's go ahead and let's play Walk of Shame with Seasons of Me. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast.
Let me shatter and broken.
All right. Welcome back. We are with Cameron Sism of Seasons of Me. And Cameron, we're going to go ahead and close out this interview. I'd like to ask you one more question. What type of legacy or how do you want to be remembered by your friends, family, and fans when you pass on?
Oh, that's definitely a tough one. Cause I'm pretty sure most of them are going to remember me as being a prick. Not really.
Me too. So don't worry about it.
Some of them. For most of us in the band, I think we want to be remembered as, the individuals that, people strive to be, at least in some form or fashion. Nobody's perfect. So, there's not everything about you is going to resonate, even after you pass on or whatever. But I think if we can, still maintain, those guys, strive to help, as many people as they could, or, even just being a good person, which nowadays they come so few and far between. And, I think all of us really hope that, we're making the right decisions in our lives to have people look at us and go, oh man, they're not a complete piece of crap, which is getting tougher and tougher to do with social media and stuff like that. I think that, everybody just wants to be remembered to be a good person, somebody that strive to help people, somebody that can have more happy memories than bad ones. And that's a challenge that every person has to fight through every day, is to make sure that, you're building towards that and not, walking a destructive path that, leads you down the wrong way to the negative remembrance.
Totally understand, my friend. Well, Cameron, we're going to go ahead and close the show out. And I'd like to say to you, man, that I truly, from the bottom of my heart, man, I wish you the utmost success, man, in all that you do. And if I can use the word pray, man, I just pray to God that he keeps blessing you guys, you as an individual, your families, the band. I pray that he throws out and opens up doors of opportunities, man, that Seasons of Me continues to grow, continues to get more fans. Seasons of Me is a band that, because you guys definitely have what it takes. True honor for me to have this opportunity once again to speak with you, and thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's been a pleasure to be on the podcast. I wish you more success than anybody could ever hope for one person. So together we'll try to do this together. We'll help you out as much as you tried to help us out, and teamwork makes the dream work. So
you got it, my friend. All right. Well, there it is. An interview with Cameron Sism of Seasons of Me. What we're going to do is we are going to play one more track. This one here is called Masquerade. Peace.
one.